Welcome everybody to episode 83 of High Tech on the Low. Hagai, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's really great to have you here. We're sitting here with Hagai Dror, Managing Director of Healthcare Israel. We're going to get into that fun little discussion of what's going on in the world of healthcare and health tech. As always, we are sponsored by Front Team with 12 different communities, 6 verticals, and 3,000 members looking to connect. And as always, throw us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever you can to keep us in your hearts and minds. So, Hagai, I'm really excited to have this talk with you. We've been talking for a little bit now, trying to set this episode up. And I really am excited to have you on the show, mainly because I think we're going into a really new kind of field with you right now. We're talking kind of about how, in certain ways, you know, the public sector is impacting tech adoption, and also innovation in general, I would say. And I'm really excited to talk about it. But first, let's hear from you. You know, who are you, where you come from, what you're doing at Healthcare Israel?
Okay, so again, thanks for having me here.
Of course.
I'm Managing Director of Healthcare Israel. It is an arm of the Ministry of Health, established to deliver healthcare technology and innovation to the world while building infrastructure here in Israel. And I basically initiated the establishment of this organization around 5 years ago. I started it.
Wow.
It was my idea, approved, of course, by the leadership of the Ministry of Health, Director General,
sure,
Deputy Director General, but I had the first idea.
Okay, and did you come from a health background? Like, are you a doctor? Are you a medical researcher?
I've been working in the Ministry of Health for 15 years.
Okay.
10 years prior to the establishment of Healthcare Israel. I come from the economics and public policy area. I was a deputy head of planning, budgeting, and pricing in the Ministry of Health.
Okay.
And in my previous role, I was practically in charge of budgeting of the whole health system in Israel, 25 government-owned hospitals and 25 other divisions of the Ministry of Health. And when I was in that position, I had the understanding that, you know, now everyone all around the world maybe knows that Israel has a leading, world-leading health system.
Right.
And on the other hand, we have here the startup nation, maybe the health tech nation.
Uh-huh.
But I came up with the question, how do we bring all these health tech innovations into the health system? Because, you know, all these startups do their exits, they sell around the world.
But they're not selling in Israel.
Yeah, how do we make sure that, you know, in Hebrew you say there's the old lady at the end of the hall in the public hospital, she's lying there, and the services that she's receiving, how do we make sure she receives all these innovations, and the health tech in Israel is dedicated to the people here in Israel, not only selling abroad in the American market or in the European market.
Sure, interesting. You know, that's also kind of an interesting discussion to have too, because, you know, there's this whole discussion in Israel. You know, we're not going to get into a full Israeli talk right now, but, you know, about the brain drain, obviously, that happens because of Startup Nation, because we have all these brilliant doctors and people and tech whizzes out there who then leave the country. And what you're almost saying is that there was almost like a technology drain, right? It was like kind of like we were making technology, we were getting solutions out there, there were health tech companies doing well, but almost like it wasn't reaching the Israeli client, which is very interesting. So in your goal of setting up Healthcare Israel, what was your main, let's say, driving force? Was it kind of, you know, oh, I'm going to go do this, I want to help the people? Was it the government giving you a mandate telling you to do that? What was the driving force there?
The driving force was exactly what you said, making healthcare system in Israel better for the Israeli people. And using the innovation and the forces that we have here in Israel to serve our own people, not only to make money or to exit abroad, but serving our own people here in Israel. And I don't think there is a contradiction.
Okay.
You know, the answer to this question, I think, is partnerships.
Okay.
When you create partnership with other countries that maybe can help you join resources, partnership with international organizations that already investing in bringing tech into healthcare, then we can invest together.
Okay.
But most of all, partnerships with technology firms and startups, where we help them expedite their solutions and the development of their solutions. And on the other hand, we receive these solutions to use them here in Israel for the benefit of the Israeli people.
For sure, for sure. I mean, that's also obviously some way of kind of, you know, I guess, incubating technology too, especially when you have partnerships. Now, you know, one of the things I think is very ambitious what you did, right? It's very hard what you say, like, let's go change the Israeli healthcare, you know, ecosystem, or not even that, the healthcare system, which, you know, if you don't know, here in Israel, it is government run, it is a public healthcare system. So that's a very hard case to say, like, you know what, we're going to go change the whole thing. I mean, how did people react to that when you kind of came up with that idea? It sounds to me like, you know, I would be like, okay, yeah, right, bro. Like, tell me the next thing next year when you have like a better idea, you know?
Yeah, you know, in incorporating technologies into the health system is a difficult task worldwide.
Okay.
And especially especially in Israel when you have a public system, and especially in the Ministry of Health, which was my organization. Mm-hmm. And people are used to being, you know, the regulator, sure, overseeing this system. They're not used to playing in the field, you know, making partnerships. And one thing I came to understand is there is no formal guideline how you do partnerships with the private sector.
Really?
So we are the government, you know, the government of the startup nation.
Okay.
But we have no protocols or no guidelines how to create these partnerships. And, you know, wow, startups today all around the world, they work with the auto companies, the, yeah, food industry giants, okay, banks, whatever. For sure. But the government in Israel does not really know how to work in partnership.
That's an interesting thing.
It is used, you know, to giving away grants,
uh-huh,
or maybe buying off-the-shelf products, but not partnerships in development, like being a design partner when a company works with the government designing the next generation of government services, the next generation of healthcare technologies, working side by side as equals. One organization brings something into this partnership and the other one also, and both gain. There is no practical guideline how to do it in the government. And on top of that, you have to change the minds of the people regular. Mm-hmm. They're used to doing what they did last year, right, and the year before.
And they don't want to change, let's be honest. They're, no, regulators. Yeah, they want, yeah, you know, rules. This A to B, B to C, that's it. You,
yeah,
know?
And sometimes they believe, or they come to believe, that the private sector will come to them, everything will come to them, because, you know, they're the regulator.
Right, they're the big guys. They're,
yeah,
the ones
but
who...
But we know, okay, that in tech and technology is an innovation. If you don't move fast, they're not going to come to you. They're going to come by you or over you, and you're going to stay back. And coming back to that old lady, you know, in the hallroom,
right,
we wanted to make the situation better for the Israeli people in their own health system. We can't wait for the companies to come to us. We want to be active.
So you kind of see government then as being, and the public sector in general, kind of being a driver for innovation. Or is it not so much a driver, but they need to get there?
I think the government is a driver for innovation in many ways.
Okay.
But I think it must add this partnership way. It must be also a partner, not only giving away grants, mm-hmm, which is done fabulously in Israel. And Israel is one of the world leaders in government investment in R&D.
Sure.
And the Innovation Authority does that great. I think you have to add the possibility to create partnerships between the government and the startups.
Mm-hmm.
That means we work together on a challenge, on a need, on a situation that we analyze, and we say we want to make this better. We want lower waiting times, or we want to have less violence in our hospitals.
Okay.
And find technological solutions to create that.
Okay. So explain to me, let's say, you know, it's very interesting, obviously, what you're able to kind of establish here. Explain to me how you would go about kind of, you know, in your role, looking at the startups that you say, hey, we want to help support you. We want to help support your mission. How do you go about choosing them?
Well, we have many types of partnerships, but
I can
give you the guidelines or the outline of two types. We have,
okay,
some partnerships that are specific to a specific startup, and we have some that are what we call platforms.
Okay.
I can give you one example of this platform is our work with the World Bank.
Okay.
Now, we've been working with the World Bank for around 2 to 3 years now, and you know the World Bank is investing in creating better solutions for developing countries,
right,
and of course after COVID-19, the World Bank's investments came very high, higher.
Sure.
And they want to bring better healthcare to all the world.
Okay.
They're investing in bringing technologies.
They're investing right now in Israeli,
yeah,
companies.
No, they're investing all over the world.
Oh, okay.
And we try to find a way, how can we join this investment? First of all, we can make the world better for other countries as well.
Of course.
And of course, make it worthwhile for Israeli companies, mm-hmm, and startups. And after 2 years of discussion, at the end of 2022, there was a agreement signed between the World Bank and the government of Israel,
mm-hmm,
to create the World Bank's hub in digital health here in Israel.
Really?
This is a center that will work in Israel and connect between Israeli companies and organizations with expertise and technologies in digital health and developing countries. And
okay,
we believe that in this way, of course, this is a win for the companies. They receive new markets. It is a win for Israel globally, politically.
Right.
It is also a win for developing countries, which will access the great technologies that come from Israel. But we also believe that this is a way to create new technologies and new solutions, which are more economically viable. And if they fit the low resource of developing countries,
sure,
they might fit also the Israeli health system. And that way we get better healthcare for that old lady that we want to take care of.
Well, that's interesting too, because you're kind of balancing between two very different areas right here, which is one, we want to do good, right? We want to help people, right? We want to help the third world or less developed nations, whatever you want to call it. And at the same time, you're saying we got to get these guys to have, you know, profitable businesses. Because at the end of the day, a startup is a business, right? You know, it's not just a do good, change the world. You know, that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, they have a bottom line. They have investors they're answering to. They have people who are working with them that have a salary who need to get paid, right? And they obviously want to make their money. So that's a very interesting balance. How do you go about actually, I don't know, orchestrating that balance between, you know, what kind of you guys want to do, what the World Bank is aiming to do, let's say, as an example, and, you know, the startup itself saying, well, at the end of the day, we need to, you know, we need our balances to be good, you know?
You are very right. And first of all, it is important to understand, and this is one of the difficulties of the government understanding, that if you want to work with startups, you want to work with the private sector, you have to have an economically viable business model. They have to get paid.
That's very important what you said.
And sometimes it's sad to say, but people in the government forget that, because, you know, they're budgeted, the Ministry of Finance gives away the money, and you don't,
because they're the government, you know,
you don't worry about making money. It is even considered a bad thing. That is the first point. But a second point is, you know, each company and each startup, they're looking for the investor, they're looking for the customer, and whoever pays, that is who I want to target. And that is how I build my business model. Okay. What we come up with is, we say, hey, we want to be your target. But for that, we also need to pay. So we find partners that can pay together with us. If the World Bank is willing to invest together with us, we're, at the end of the day, we're a very small country.
Okay.
And we have limited resources. Right. That's what I learned in my role as budgeting of the Ministry of Health. So we have to gain to pool resources together. So we come together with the World Bank. And if you come to a small startup and you say, hey, the World Bank is going to be your customer, then I guess this CEO starts thinking, maybe I can pivot a little bit. If it's 180 degrees, no way.
Sure.
But if it's 10 degrees, maybe pivot, and I can address the World Bank, and the World Bank will invest and pay for the solutions, and countries all over the world will buy this solution, then maybe it's worthwhile for me.
Right, and then I have the World Bank, you know, logo on my, you know, website.
And also maybe the Ministry of Health's logo and stuff like that. And that is worth a lot of money. So if we can find this area where we can join forces with our international partners, we can bring the resources, which are not only Israeli resources, which are world resources, and create an opportunity for the startups, then we believe that way is the win, what we call with a win-win-win solution. The win, it's a win for our international partners,
right?
It's the win for Israeli people, and it's a win for the startup or the company that works with us.
That's a unique model then, because in certain ways, you know, you're saying, listen guys, we're here to make your lives in a sense easier, but it also doing our job better, right? Now, one of the things that I think is interesting here is that, you know, a lot of startups, I think when you initially, you made a very good point that a lot of startups probably think of the government, both in Israel and also in the US, in Europe, that, you know, the government there is mainly there for what? Like grants, you know, grants, certain levels of funding that, you know, at the end of the day, here you go, we use it, we have to show reports, but that's the end of the end of the government's interaction and innovation. And in a sense, you've made a very interesting point here that the government can actually be an active stakeholder in the whole innovation process. But it almost seems like, you know, while you might have to change the government, which is probably a very hard thing around the world to actually change people's ideas, you know, the government's ideas around the world, how can you, you know, what would your advice be, I guess, not even how could you, but what would your advice be to startups who are kind of considering some type of government, you know, partnership like that, or who haven't even thought about it, but maybe should be thinking about it?
You know, I think I always say that what I learned from working with China is also relevant for working with startups, and I'll explain.
Okay.
You know,
that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, there is a cultural gap.
Okay.
Between startups and government. And it's easier to understand, you know, when you work with Chinese and they speak a different language, they live 1,000 kilometers from here, and the different ways of work and ideas and ideals.
Right.
But it's also true for the connection between startups and government.
Okay.
When someone says something in the startup field, then the government official understands a totally different thing. And first of all, I think you have to recognize there is this cultural gap.
Okay.
And you have to understand what are the limitations, what are the capabilities, what are the meanings of things. Like you said, the government has to understand that there must be a business model for the startup. But the startup also has to understand that the government has limitations, has ideas, has needs. And I think our advantage, my advantage in the team at Health for Israel, is that we've been in in both areas. I've been working in the Ministry of Health for 15 years, budgeting the system, so I know how the health system works. I know how health officials think. Mm-hmm. I know how these doctors at the heads of hospitals and the heads of the health funds think, how they act. I signed large-scale contracts between the Ministry of Health and startups, mm-hmm. between Ministry of Health and hospitals, within okay. hospitals and health funds. But I've also been working with startups, mm-hmm. you know, right. trying to find their business model, commercializing, bringing them to markets all over the world. We've been working all over the world. So first of all, you have to recognize there is this cultural gap. And then if you can overcome it, or you can find people who speak both languages or mm. both cultures.
The connectors.
Yeah, the right? connectors, then I think you can succeed.
That's a good point there too, that sometimes you actually need that person who can kind of be the in-between, you know, between both worlds. It almost seems like someone like yourself is kind of like that, but, you know, don't take that, we'll be modest too.
I think Healthcare Israel is an organization that is supposed to do that and is also capable of doing it, but I'm not sure we have enough of these in the government.
Well, also, it seems like maybe there's not enough of these worldwide in many ways, you know, that in a sense that even beyond Israel, you know, and I know we're talking very specifically in this case about Israel, but almost worldwide, there kind of lacks this kind of connection between the innovation departments, we can say, of the various startups or the various, you know, private sector companies and the government, because otherwise we would see kind of maybe faster adoption and bigger changes.
You're right. And it is a stronger need in public systems. So the health system, especially in Israel,
right.
is a highly public system. And it's also the same in Europe and almost all over the world, for the exception is the United States.
Of course.
But it might be also true for education.
Sure.
It is also true for defense industry. But, you know, maybe the transportation or mobility is not that important because it's a private industry.
Sure.
So public systems, I think, is needed. And it is needed from both sides, for the startups to better access these public systems and also for the public systems to remain to keep giving quality care, quality services, innovative services, or else they will lag behind and not provide these services for the citizens.
So kind of in a sense to be responsive to what the people need, to like actually be proactive about it. I think that's on point. Now, one of the things that you mentioned when you were just talking was about that you guys have international partnerships beyond the World Bank, that you actually have international, you know, the World Bank, in my opinion, is a great, great partnership to have, right? It's the international partnership in a certain way. But, you know, you also have partnerships with other countries and other, you know, kind of stakeholders in that way. Can you talk about that a little bit? You know, what you're able to, at least?
Yes, of course. Over the past 5 years, we've signed more than 20 contracts and 20 collaboration agreements with countries all over the world.
All over the world?
Yeah. We started around 5 years ago with Brazil, China, and the Inter-American Development Bank. That is like the small brother of the World Bank.
Okay.
Concentrated on Latin America. And you have to remember that it was before COVID-19 sure. and it was before the high tensions between the US and China.
Sure.
So China was a leading market for us
okay.
at the beginning. And we have multiple collaboration projects with China in multiple sites, and we signed a lot of agreements there.
That's awesome.
Also in Brazil, and like I said, in IDB, this American Inter-American Development Bank, we've helped them promote the digital transformation of Latin American health systems.
Wow.
And we visited Suriname and the Bahamas and submitted reports about how we think they should build their digital health strategy
okay.
for these countries. Also, another example is the United Arab Emirates, where some of our companies that we've been working with on COVID-19 solutions have already started marketing their solutions. With India, for example, together with the Ministry of Defense, we held a very large clinical trial testing 5 different technologies that address COVID-19 and try to diagnose COVID-19 in different ways. That was a 2-week, 10,000 people clinical trial in a few sites over India. And actually in 2019, for part of this work, I received what is called the InnoDeep Award, the Innovation in Diplomacy Award, wow. handed by the Reichman University and the Jerusalem Post, for this unique model of work of Healthcare Israel.
That's so very unique then. Like what is the whole idea of, you know, because when we were first talking to, you know, I called you a healthcare diplomat, right?
Yeah.
And so now that you're telling me this, I didn't even know that. So what was like the prize saying that you were kind of out there, I don't know, presenting Israeli tech or what? What was it for?
The prize was concentrated on, like I said, innovation in diplomacy. And they understood that the model of healthcare Israel is an innovative model of diplomacy. You know, it is not old world diplomacy when you send,
you're sitting in the boardroom,
you send this telegram to your consul in wherever.
Sure.
But we're building partnerships with other countries and with Israel, and these are long lasting partnerships. They are based on economic models that work, business models that work.
And they do good.
Yeah, and they do good. And I think what Reichman University recognized in the Jerusalem Post is that this is a new way of creating diplomacy, which many people might not think this is diplomacy at all. Maybe it could be business, it could be healthcare, it could be diplomacy. It's all of them in one box.
Sure.
And I think that is the unique model of healthcare Israel.
Oh, definitely. I mean, also, like, internationally, have you guys come across other organizations that are doing similar things maybe in their home countries?
Actually, there are similar organizations, but not exactly the same model.
Like, what is their model? Is it
more altruistic? We based Healthcare Israel
on
two models. Okay. One is the Ministry of Defense here in Israel, which has these kinds of partnerships with other countries and with the in the industry, and also on an organization called Healthcare UK, which is more concentrated on, you know, bringing UK products to the world, exporting healthcare products from the UK. So we're kind of a mesh between these two.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting kind of mesh right there too, because you have, you know, in a sense, who would think that defense, you know, could be a model for healthcare, right? Though I know some people would argue, you know, you have biological attacks and all that stuff, but seriously, like, still for healthcare, not talking about that, you know, healthcare.
Yeah, and you know, it's an opportunity, I think, talking about the diplomacy part, it's an opportunity for Israel not to only export defense or weapons, but to bring health to the world. I think it is a great diplomatic opportunity for Israel. But you do have to remember that the defense industry and the healthcare industry, they're all public industries, and the public's safety and the public's health is the main goal that you want to achieve, and that's why they are usually publicly funded and publicly provided all over the world.
For sure.
And that is a very strong linkage between healthcare and defense.
For sure. No, and that's a very good point. Now, I have to also tell you, if you're going to Suriname and the Bahamas, I'm definitely coming and working with you. So that's for sure. You know, I wanted to kind of ask too, because, you know, we've gotten a really interesting, you know, kind of overview of what you guys are really doing at Healthcare Israel and how you guys are helping the world, how you guys are helping Israeli tech develop, how you're helping it also expand. It's kind of, you know, beyond the borders of Israel and actually make a splash in many different ways. One of the things, though, that I would love to hear from you, because obviously, you know, you have a very high kind of, you know, bird's eye view of the ecosystem. You know, you're talking to me that you're working with, you know, the likes of the World Bank and other countries that are major superpowers, you know, and things like that. Where are you seeing the trends of healthcare go right now? Because obviously, you know what you're interested in kind of supporting and partnering with. And I'm sure, you know, you've made some strategies there and so forth. But what do you see as being trends as we now get into, you know, we're at the start of 2023? What does 2023 look like, and maybe even the next decade?
Well, of course, you know, the health arena is booming, and actually you've had a few guests here on your podcast
that I have
that are doing amazing things in this area. It can be AI in healthcare, and it can be personalized medicine based on your the patient's specific genetics. Mm-hmm. It's the use of robotics. It's what is called bioconvergence. This is something that is led also by the Innovation Authority in Israel. The convergence of biology, engineering, and data, that is, can be bionic arms that sense your needs and do things like that. And I think we have a very short time. We can't get into all of these. I can tell you something that we are looking into.
Please.
And that is remote sensing of patient indicators. That is not only remote treatment, you know, via the video, or you have this device you put in the mouth and the doctor sees, but it's remote sensing. That means you enter the emergency room and the sensors automatically give your indicators to the medical team. We even believe that we might be able to sense psychiatric or psychological indicators.
Really?
And this is, of course, can change, be a game changer in these areas, and also game changer in managing the workload of medical teams. And this is something that we are going to work on in the year 2023. And the workload of healthcare teams is a big issue all over the world, mm-hmm. because we have a lack of doctors, lack of nurses, mm-hmm. and we need to treat a lot of more patients, more complicated patients. Mm-hmm. And of course, everyone is looking to technology to solve that. So we believe remote sensing can be one of the ways to do that.
That's very interesting. I've even myself, just in my marketing business, worked with some companies in that, so I'll have to talk to you about that afterwards. But very interesting. You know, we're getting towards the end of the conversation, as you said yourself, and I want to ask from you, because I think this is, you know, probably what a lot of people are wondering who are listening, are, you know, if I'm an entrepreneur right now and I want to go into the healthcare space, and maybe just like yourself, I don't come from healthcare necessarily. You know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical researcher, but I still want to make some type of impact. Or maybe I am a medical researcher and a doctor, and I'm now looking to, you know, branch out into the startup world. What's your advice for entrepreneurs right now going into that field, what they should be focusing on, and how they should look at the government as a partner, or even potentially, you know, groups like a Healthcare Israel?
You know, I have this friend who's a startup CEO, and he told me, I asked him the same question. What is the advice that you got when you went into healthcare? Because he came from a different area. Mm. And he said, I was told first, pick a team, then do all of the rest. So
good advice, I would say.
I was shocked at first, because you know I was told you have to find this unmet need or something,
right?
Or you have to have this technological mm-hmm. technology feature that you think you can use in healthcare. Mm-hmm. But he said no, the team is first. And I think if you come outside of healthcare, outside of healthcare totally, you have to find the right team that has healthcare experts and to surround with you with people who know medicine, who know healthcare technologies, but who also know the structure of the system, how
regulations, system, legal.
Regulations, legal, economic, right. Because you have to have the business model, you have to have it legal, you have to have to fit the regulations. It's a highly regulated area, mm-hmm. healthcare. So you have to find the right team. But if you do come from healthcare, I do believe, and I can't say it differently because I'm not I'm not a doctor and I'm not a technology person. Sure. I'm a system person or right. a policy system or economics person. I think these people are highly needed, because you do need to reach the market. Mm-hmm. And if you have to reach the market, it's not enough to be a good doctor or have a solution for the big problem in cancer or whatever.
Right.
You need to build the right business models and find the right partnerships to make it happen.
Amazing. Amazing. Haggai, thank you so much for this talk. I feel like I've learned a lot about healthcare and health tech in general. And I wish you know, the best with everything that you guys are doing at Healthcare Israel. And let's see it coming.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.